ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yurko with you at home or in your office.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
It's Packer Week. Bears and Packers on Sunday Night Football. Getting ready for Thanksgiving. A big weekend of football. It's Carmen and Yurko. Hope everyone's having a great day. Make sure you download the ESPN Chicago app. If you ever miss anything, catch up on the shows, the interviews, all the fun stuff there. And also, make sure you're hitting up all of our social pages, especially Instagram, at ESPN underscore Chicago. Details there on a great giveaway for Bears-Packers this week. Yurko's got some stuff up on his Instagram story, too, at YurkovichJohn, because, look, the good kid is synonymous with Bears and Packers, let's face it. And we've got the Arch Nemesis Swiss giveaway going on with Mars, right, Yurk? Mars Cheese Castle. It's like one of the first things you see when you cross the state line north of the border.
First thing you see is stop in the Mars Cheese Castle. You got all types of goodies that are sitting up there. You know, because the Bears are playing the Packers, kid, right? And we're going to be talking to Mark Chamorro, my former teammate.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Former tight end of the Super Bowl winning Green Bay Packers, in conjunction with our friends up in the ESPN Milwaukee, 94.5 up there. We are each giving away a special prize pack from Mars Cheese Castle alongside, you know, a Bears coffee mug, a cooking apron, and a Green Bay Packers, not Green Bay Packers, Chicago Bears mask. Each side will be giving one of those away. You go to ESPNChicagoContest.com to enter. It's going to be random. You just enter, boom, boom, we'll get a random winner, and everything will get sent to you. So we congratulate people early on for entering, and then whoever the winner is going to be, congratulations there. But it's nice because I've got one here, Carm.
Yeah.
And now that summer sausage is something to behold, man.
Like, wow. I can imagine that it is. Yes.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And it got a couple spreads in there and got a bunch of different cheese in there. So it's absolutely fantastic. It's something worth winning. That's all I'm going to say to you. And it's to commemorate the big game on Sunday night.
That's a sweet little prize package. Absolutely. Even if the Bears lose and you're a Bears fan, you're still a winner, right? And it costs nothing. There's no strings attached. So just
no strings attached.
Like Yurko said, register to win. You can register all the way, I think, through about noon on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. But all the details are there. ESPNChicagoContest.com. That's ESPNChicagoContest.com. And you can hit us up on our social accounts at ESPN1000 on Twitter and at ESPN underscore Chicago on Instagram to get all the details. And yes, Johnny Handsome on his Instagram page displaying some of that good stuff earlier today, plus his little feathered drive on 17 at Pinehurst over the weekend.
The language in there is a little bit salty. Like I said, it was late in the round. The body wasn't feeling 100%. And I had used enough CBD oil on the old joints trying to loosen everything up over the course of time. So, I was trying to put the peg in the ground, and boy, it was taking a little time. And I got a little salty there. Then I tried to motivate the ball by talking to the ball a little bit too.
I do that.
So, but man alive, if you can stand it, just a perfect little shot. For an ugly swing, it was a perfect little shot.
Yeah, it worked, and you get parred the hole. I've said more mean, nasty things to a golf ball than anybody else in this life, Yurko. You know?
Yeah, one of the greatest things we ever did when we did that video with you and me played Sylvian Waddle.
So great.
Up in Wisconsin at Lake Geneva. Kim, we're at Grand Geneva there, and we're doing it. They just filmed us. They just filmed the whole time. They put it together. And was it the beeps? They were plentiful and they were fun, but that's literally the way you talk on the golf course sometimes when things aren't going well for you. Now, on the third hole of Pinehurst number two, one of our guys, we won't name him, but his name was Louis Bufano, was missed a couple shots and was swearing up a storm. We actually had a ranger come out and ask us to quit cussing because it was carrying throughout the golf course.
Jeez, wow.
Never happened to me anywhere over the United States. We had a guy come out, and I don't want to mention his name again, but it was Louis Bufano.
Louis Bufano, yeah.
Yeah, and boy, what salty, salty mouth. You think I'd be the guy swearing all the time.
Yeah, no kidding.
And he was screaming, and it was echoing. So, no, it's a good time, kid. If you and a group of friends, anybody out there got a group of friends, Pinehurst is the place to go. They've got 9 courses. Like I said, there's another 15 out there. They shuttle you everywhere, Carm.
I love it.
They put you on a buggy, and they shuttle you wherever you want to go. They drop you off wherever you need to be. It's perfect.
That video, by the way, you were talking about from a few years ago at Grand Geneva, that was our buddy Jason Honeycutt, who's a filmmaker and an editor out in Los Angeles. So he's a Chicago guy, so he loves Chicago sports, and he listens to us and Waddle and Sylvie all the time. Jason is the one who videotaped that for us and did all that fabulous editing, and that was like one of the outtake videos. And I think years ago he once posted it on his social account. I should reach out to him on social and tell him
yes.
to post it again, because that outtake of you yelling at the Kikuyu grass is an all-timer.
Yeah,
I'll send him a when
Poana.
We
Poana and Kikuyu.
When we get into a break or maybe right after the show, I'll hit up Jason with the note and tell him if see if he still has that video and if he can repost it on social. Because
the biggest fraud of that, it was, what is it, the MVP games, right? So we call
yeah,
it.
Right.
The biggest fraud was that for tennis, that Yurko proclaimed that he was a really good tennis player. And all he did each time when Waddle or Sylvie hit them the ball is he hit it as high as he could to catch his breath before the next shot was coming back his way. Hey, and poor Carmen didn't play tennis very much.
I don't play tennis.
Didn't know what the heck was going on. And Yurko's
strategy.
Yeah.
You ever watch tennis? You ever see the lob utilized?
Yes.
Have you ever seen it utilized? That was a defensive lob.
God.
Yeah, I got a non-tennis playing guy trying to tell me how to play tennis.
Why don't you get out of Dodge?
I play tennis.
He plays some tennis. He does.
Play tennis.
He plays. Merkin
can't
actually likes
up
tennis.
A racket. He can't even hold up a racket.
No, believe it or not, he likes tennis. I
love tennis.
Poor guy couldn't make it around the golf course for 18 holes, grabbing his thighs the whole time.
Hey, I'm knock on wood, Yurk. I'm 100 times better than I was that day. That was almost my low point.
Well,
at that
thank place. Heavens! I'm glad that you're finally physically fit enough.
Thanks to the great people at L&I Bone and Joint, Brandon Alexander, who brought me back to life. So
there you go. So Sunday night, guys, we had a good football game Sunday night.
Yes,
I mean, that was a good game between the Chiefs and the Raiders, especially down in the stretch in the fourth quarter. They exchanged touchdown drives back and forth, Patrick Mahomes with the late heroics for the Chiefs. But I think what a lot of people were buzzing about, and it's so easy to hear it now because the stadiums are empty, are the quarterbacks making the checks or audibles at the line of scrimmage and all the names that they use. Peyton Manning made Omaha very famous years ago. You know, Matthew Stafford, who I believe was a college, not college, excuse me. I believe Matthew Stafford and Clayton Kershaw either went to grade school or high school together in Texas.
I believe it was high school, Carmen.
I think it was, right, Merck?
Westlake, Texas, I believe.
I don't think they went to Westlake, but that's Foles. That's where Foles went to school.
Yeah, that's right.
And Breeze. But I believe they were high school teammates, and they're very good friends, and so you've heard a lot over the years. You'll hear Matthew Stafford use one of his checks as Kershaw, Clayton Kershaw. We heard Clayton Kershaw from Derek Carr on Sunday night, but here was a little sample from Sunday of Derek Carr.
Hey, lava rain, lava rain.
Yeah.
Hey, purple walrus LA. Oh. Hey, purple walrus LA.
Tap that.
Here we go. Hey, hey, James Harden, Mike.
Hey.
James Harden.
Hey, right.
Hit the phone.
Why didn't he shut me?
James Harden. Everybody's been buzzing about that. Does that mean they're going left? James Harden, they're going left. Chris Mullin was another check. Chris Mullin. We're going to go left. This was a couple weeks ago. Here's a little bit more of Derek Carr.
Springsteen, Liana, Nolan Ryan. Hey, Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah. Cindy Gruden, Tiger Woods.
Hey, Seattle.
Where?
Clayton Kershaw. Hey, let's go Mickelson. Oscar, New York. Mark Davis, Boston.
So when you hear Phil Mickelson, when you hear James Harden, when you hear Chris Mullin, when you hear Clayton Kershaw, does that tell your trained ear, Yurk, that it is some sort of a check where they're going to run to the left side of the formation or they're doing something to the left?
So if one was to study this, one would look at every single time they utilize it and see exactly what was done.
Okay.
Then you break it down. Television copy with the actual film copy, the All-22 or the 9-on-7, the end zone copy. Where you take a look, you listen to the call, you take a look exactly what they're talking about. Is every time he mentions Clayton Kershaw, they're running to the left or doing something to the left? Maybe it could even be a slide protection to the left. Mm. You know, what is it that they do every single time when they mention a left-handed golfer? You know,
right.
I'm surprised I didn't hear Mike Weir in the whole
Mike
thing.
Mike Weir. I don't know if he's popular enough.
Bob Charles, a left-handed golfer. There's only so many left-handed people that are famous that people across the line of scrimmage would all know.
Right.
Now, your offensive linemen are usually one of the most intelligent groups on the field, along with your defensive line. Always remember, the closer to the ball, the more intelligent usually you are. That's going by average Wonderlic score. okay? Right. Going by average Wunderlich score. So you know that. Yeah, but like usually what happened, Tampa Bay would say Rembrandt, Michelangelo, Rembrandt. They run a draw.
A draw. That's awesome.
Right. I so you
that.
Go back and you take a look at it. Well, why Rembrandt? Why Michelangelo? You know, they never say Renoir. You know, you didn't hear Renoir. But, you know, draw. Somebody that draws. Then they'd say shade, shade, shade. And then they'd run a screen. Shade, screen, that kind of thing.
Sure.
So, you know, but you'd have to, if you had it the week before and you had guys that wanted to dissect it, we had Buffalo stuff down to nothing. Buffalo stuff was the easiest thing in the world. Anytime they're running a G play, which means the onside guard was pulling, they were blocking down, 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 onside guard kicking out, and they're trying to get Thurman Thomas just off the edge there, off the butt of the tackle. They'd come in and they'd run like, they'd just say, they'd look at the line of scrimmage and they'd just say 28G, 28G. They literally called the play out. Hmm. They wouldn't say grape. They wouldn't say green, or you know, maybe they did say green, but you'd heard it. And you knew exactly. You'd see the guard kind of lighten up a little bit, trying to shift back a little bit, and you knew what they were doing. You know, Kent Hall must have thought I was the greatest nose tackle in the world.
You said that, yeah.
And I swear to the heavens, it's because I knew what they were doing, and he didn't really have a chance against me because
well, why wouldn't they change? Why would they keep it so simple? And how were they so successful all those
years?
Well,
you got to make it as simple as the dumbest guy on the offensive line. That's why. Hmm. You can't overcomplicate it to the point where a guy doesn't pick it up. Hmm. Nothing worse like running a play that you audible into and then the guy can't pick it up because he doesn't remember or he's not bright enough to pick it up, you know? Wow. So that's what you've got to go with. You got to make it simplistic until somebody gets it. Now, all this new stuff, because, you know, the Omaha came out, now guys are getting a little bit fancy. But the fanciest thing I ever heard was the Rembrandt and the Michelangelo.
Great. Yes.
That's as fancy as it got, you know, of the stuff that I heard. It was a little more basic, you know, kill, kill, kill. For us in Green Bay, Riverside meant it was a run, but it was going the opposite direction. Riverside meant, okay, switch it from what we called in the huddle. We're going to go the other direction. And then he'd give time for the tight end to switch over, and then we'd go the other direction and run the play.
Riverside. So that was
yeah,
just
Riverside.
Opposite. What were some of the other ones in Green Bay? Do you remember?
Riverside, you know, it wasn't even Frankie'd come to the line of scrimmage and just say, can't do it. You know, he'd look at the defense. He says, we can't do it. I swear to God, it was Frankie that kind of pulled Brett along for a long
really?
Period of time.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be the guy reminding him, okay, we can't do it. We can't do it. So they'd check out of it to Spider White Banana or whatever they'd go to. And they'd just pull up. I remember college audibles, like 676 pull up, 7-11 Ricky Lucky. Then he'd get to the side and he'd go, Ricky, 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 or Lucky, Lucky, Lucky. And the guys knew what they were doing.
And so Ricky was right, Lucky was left.
Yeah, was
that.
Ricky, you know, 7-11 Ricky, Lucky. So it was going to go either way, depending Ricky, upon what Lucky. They came out there with.
That's great.
And our stuff in college, and Sean Payton was our quarterback in college.
Right.
So Sean come to the line of scrimmage. If they were playing cover two, we're running fades. If they played cover three, we're running slants. And that's the system we ran.
Huh.
It was an Al Moldy offense, and he went up to Western Michigan after that and had some success up there. But that's what we ran. We came out. We threw. Sean Payton, when he was done, was one of the top 10 passers in NCAA history.
And did Payton just know? Could he get to the line and everything? He had the autonomy because he was smart enough to know.
He was trained well, and you know he was good when he came out of high school. Came there and became the quarterback because he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was looking at. And then came in and just had some great wide receivers. We had Calvin Pierce out of Phoenix, Illinois. Or Robbins, Illinois, right there. We had a kid, Derek Wilhelm, out of Freeport. He was a pretzel. So he came out of Freeport. Roy Banks joined us from Detroit, Michigan. Big Daddy O, Dwayne Pitts, was a running back for us out of Michigan, Detroit. We recruited Detroit, Indianapolis, St. Louis, Chicago is where we tried to get a bunch of players. And then we filled them in with everything else from the state. In Indianapolis.
The whole play calling things worked out pretty well for Sean Payton. His Saints, the number one seed in the NFC right now.
Right, and if we didn't have enough players, we went to JUCO route.
There
we went
go.
Out to California and got players out of California and Arizona where the JUCOs were at. We'd bring them on in, and we went to Triton and TCC and you know some of the community colleges around here where guys got a little bit bigger and they matured physically. But that's the way you had to do it when you're at Eastern Illinois.
312-332-3776. That's the number. Hit us up on Twitter at Carmen DeFalco, at Yurko64. That's Yurko with the J and the number 64. We'll be right back.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is the home of Carmen and Yurko.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Wait.
All right, we're going to have our guy Midway Jeff Meller in just a second here. Update everybody on the waiver watch. That's our fantasy segment with Jeff, our fantasy expert, one of our producers each and every Tuesday. Give everybody the lowdown on what to look for on the waivers. You know, we're in week 12, so it's getting kind of thin. But you still can find some value here and there, I bet. Merkin's got a dilemma, too. Just real quick on Twitter. Let's see. I think it was Sports Guru Q says, guys, Harden, the Harden check was a check to a run because Harden doesn't pass. And that is funny, and I've heard that. It's that narrative is...
You yelled at me one time because I said the same thing, Carter.
If I were to ask you, in the last five seasons, how many... I'm sorry, the last four seasons, how many assists per game does James Harden average? What would you say?
I think because you yelled at me, it's seven.
I'll say more than that.
It's nine. James Harden averages nine assists a game. 4 years ago, James Harden led the NBA in assists. And people say he doesn't pass. I don't know where these things start, Yerk. I don't. Like, I don't know how it happens. I don't know if it's Stephen A. Smith or what, or people who... I don't know. Like, but the idea that James Harden doesn't pass is quite funny.
He loves to dribble the ball at the top of the key.
He might. He led the league in assists 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and he doesn't pass. He's averaging nine assists per game the last 4 years, but somehow he doesn't pass. It's quite funny. So, hey, I got a kick out of listening to all the audibles anyway. I just want to speak in audibles. I want to go around and just talk in audibles. That's it. Just want to
just
run around doing
random
checks.
Names.
Random.
No
that's it, Yerk. That you're absolutely yes.
Mm-hmm.
Walk around and just Sylvie, Tesla. Kill Tesla.
Why?
Scorsese. No, not kill Tesla. Yeah. Like kill Tesla. That's my check. Scorsese. Quentin. That's it. I'm just going to walk around and start speaking in audibles. All right, Merck, before we get to Meller, quick, what's your dilemma?
Yeah, so Karma and Yerk, last night I got eliminated from my fantasy football chance to make the playoffs. And I've had it with Julio Jones. Like he's killed me.
He's hurt a lot. Why? Because
yeah.
He's hurt.
So I'm dropping him. And I just want to make sure you guys are.
You're like Yurko. You're sending a message to your team by dropping Julio.
I'm picking up Trubisky, hoping he plays this week, and I want to start Mitch. So
eliminated though.
I'm done. I'm three games out with two left, and I have the low points in my league right now. I was not into it to start.
But that's not being a good sport though. I mean, you're still relied upon to put a quality roster for the league's sake.
I will. I've got Michael Thomas. I've got
CeeDee
Lamb.
Dropping Julio doesn't do that.
And I'm going to trade for Antonio Brown. So I'll have three good wide receivers still.
Okay.
So I'm dropping Julio. I've had it. So is that okay, though?
Yurko famously dropped Kurt Warner years ago to send a message to his fantasy team. It's one of the all-time great moves.
In week two.
He wanted to fire up his fantasy team. And now Merkin's doing the same thing. He's fed up with his team. He's mad. He's going to send a message to his fantasy football team by cutting Julio Jones. I love it. Go ahead, Merk. Let's bring in Midway. Yeah, go ahead.
That's it. I'm done with Julio.
Let's bring in Midway Jeff Meller and see what he thinks about that. He is our fantasy guru. What do you think, Midway?
Listen, it's your fantasy football team, so you can play it however you want. That's always my philosophy. But I will say it does kind of submarine the integrity of the league because whoever's going to be sitting there with a waiver priority, you know, in the mid portion there will get a chance to scoop up Julio Jones when you drop him, Merck. And I mean, you have to have someone else who's worse on your roster that you could cut in favor of Mitch Trubisky.
I do. I've got Carlos Hyde to cut, but
spoken like a true fantasy purist. You know, Meller's like, wait, you can't do that, Merck.
I spanked Meller this past weekend too. By the way, guys,
nice.
Yurko took me down with a 7.5 point win last night. I will give him credit. He did so playing a man down because he started Chris Carson last week, who did not play. So,
oh my God,
Yurko sent me a tough loss, kid.
Sent you a message
text this morning. So,
speaking of messages. All right, so what are we looking for on the waiver wire this week? Is there anybody of value that is still out there potentially to save a season here as teams try to make the playoffs or jockey for position in their leagues for the playoffs?
Yeah, at this point we're in this, you know, it's certainly, it's really a wasteland at this point, Carm. I think the most interesting name who's available in most leagues right now is Gus Edwards because of the COVID test, positive test for both J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram. Gus Edwards will likely be the lead back, assuming that the Ravens-Steelers game still happens, because we've also got word now that there's more positive tests for the Ravens, although you have to imagine the NFL wants to keep their marquee game, you know, on Thanksgiving going. So that one's going to be a little touch and go. I think it's also worth probably nabbing Justice Hill on the off chance, you know, when guys are in close contact, you just don't know what's going to happen with the COVID stuff. So just in case Gus Edwards pops up on the COVID list, I mean, hey, he's in practice next to J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram a lot of times. So I think Justice Hill is worth grabbing if you're desperate for a running back. James White, also in New England, checked the availability in your league for him. He finally was productive this past week, and with the gruesome injury to Rex Burkhead, James White will probably step in and be a little more close to what we've become accustomed to from him in fantasy purposes. So if he's available, especially in any type of PPR format, I think he is definitely a must add, and he's available in over 50% of leagues right now. So he's worth someone to keep an eye on. Michael Pittman for the Colts. You guys saw that nice route that he ran to get his first NFL touchdown against the Packers, I'm sure. He's been pretty good over the last three games, 18 targets, really kind of he's kind of become, you know, their biggest asset in the passing game. T.Y. Hilton is no longer really productive at this point. So I think Michael Pittman is somebody who's worth nabbing. Tim Patrick has returned from injury of late, and he is somebody who is worth adding if you need a little bit of wide receiver help. I'll say this. I mean, at this point, Taysom Hill was the big story. If you're not aware at this point, he has lost his tight end eligibility in ESPN leagues.
He has.
Yes. They did that this morning, and that was kind of expected at this point. The one thing I'll say is if you want to get cute, I'm not sure you can. If you're willing to just keep your lineup as is, I do believe that your lineup will carry through. So if you are happy with Taysom Hill's production, and this is one of those situations where it will create a lot of controversy amongst your league mates, so you have to know what kind of league you're in going forward. But if you really like the production you got from Taysom Hill at tight end, and who wouldn't, and you're happy with your lineup for the week, and your league is cutthroat and, you know, however it is set up, you could theoretically keep Taysom Hill in the tight end spot as long as you're willing to basically abandon your roster and not make any moves. But in order to make any moves, you have to move Taysom Hill out of the tight end slot.
Well, any move on the roster? You'd have to literally keep
anything. So if for instance you want to make a pickup, the ESPN will not let you go forward without moving Taysom Hill out of your tight end slot.
So there's an actual loophole there where you could keep your lineup the same even though he doesn't count as a tight end anymore. He'll still have tight end distinction for this week.
He's locked into the tight end slot until you move him out of there.
Wow.
So, you know,
he's grandfathered in.
Now that is the true definition of cheating, though. I do think like last week it was different because he had tight end eligibility.
Right.
This week, if you leave him in knowing that you're doing this, I definitely think that there's an element of cheating into that aspect. But you know, some leagues are more cutthroat than others, so feel free to handle it however you would like. I will say, I've seen people talk about Taysom Hill being a viable option as a starter at the quarterback spot, and the running ability obviously gives him a nice floor, but I have a hard time putting him in the top 10 because I don't know if anybody watched that game closely.
Yeah.
Even the big plays that he threw, he drastically underthrew Emmanuel Sanders on a completion that really had no business being completed. There was another ball to Michael Thomas that he just didn't seem to know where he wanted to go with the ball, and Thomas makes a great athletic play on it to make a catch. So I'm still suspect of using Taysom Hill at the quarterback spot, but the running ability that he gives you a nice floor. Merkin mentioned Julio Jones with that hamstring injury. Russell Gage is probably going to see a little bit of influx of targets because Julio Jones is likely to miss this week, I would imagine. Jalen Reagor for the Eagles is somebody, you know, their first round pick who's seen 18 targets over the last couple weeks, and with a nice matchup against the Seattle Seahawks secondary on Monday night, he's a viable option who is available in over 50% of leagues. So I think those are the key names. But like one last thing I'll add is we're kind of at the point in the season, Carm, where, you know, we're closing in on the playoffs here. So I think you kind of have to look at which running backs who are like handcuff type players who are available on the waiver wire who are better than any options you have on your roster right now, because you don't want to have to fight through waiver wires next week if an injury happens to, like, say, Delvin Cook this week, and then Alexander Madison immediately becomes the number one ad. if you get ahead of it and you have the roster room, go pick up Alexander Mattison this week. And then if something happens to Cook, well, you've got yourself an RB1 when the fantasy playoffs roll around. So it's those kind of moves that at this point in the season, I think, help you get a little bit of an edge as you're trying to close in on the playoffs.
I like it. Smart. Start planning for the playoffs if you're in. All right. Great stuff, Meller. We'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right, boys. Talk to you later.
There's Jeff Meller at Jeff_Meller. Remember, every Sunday morning, 8 to 9, right here on ESPN 1000 before the Bears pregame show, he's got a full hour of fantasy talk where he will take your calls and help you set your lineup. When we return, Jeff Dickerson's got an update on what's happening at Halas Hall, and we'll see what JD thinks about the quarterback situation and which way the Bears might be leaning going into the Sunday night game against the Packers. JD joins us when we come back next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I hope everyone's having a great Tuesday so far. It's Carmen and Yurko, and we get out to the Corona Hotline and say hi to our buddy Jeff Dickerson. He is at Dickerson ESPN on Twitter. Joins us with an update on the Bears coming out of their bye week as they try to stop the bleeding in this four-game slide, which is the longest, I do believe, right now in the NFC, going into Green Bay on Sunday night. The rivalry that, let's face it, gentlemen, has not been kind to the Chicago Bears, for about the last 25 years or so. The last decade has been particularly ugly. Since 2011, including the loss in the NFC title game, the Bears are 3-17 against the Green Bay Packers. That hurts, doesn't it, JD?
And then, Nagy's 1-3. So he did beat them the second time they played in 2018. They almost got on the first time. You guys remember that one, but let that one slip away. Then there was that Thanksgiving, that awful weather, that monsoon at Lambeau Field on Thanksgiving. I want to say that was Fox's first year of 2015. And then there was some other, Aaron Rodgers-related injury game where they beat him when he was hurt. And there was like someone like Seneca Wallace running around or something like
that's
that.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, so yes, it has. It has not been kind. It is good this year the Bears are not playing on Thanksgiving. I mean, I'll certainly say that is better. They had played Thanksgiving the last couple of years. I think I was thinking about these Thanksgiving games, and I think last year Mitch won that like championship belt they gave out on Fox. Remember that?
I think you're right.
They beat the Lions in some meaningless game because by that point the season was kind of sunk. But Mitch threw like three touchdowns at Ford Field, and he got the championship belt. Not that that has any bearing on this weekend, but I mean, it is interesting. Carmen, interesting segue into our quarterback conversation because Matt Nagy was not ready yet yesterday to sort of divulge, you know, what's going to happen as far as the quarterback position goes this weekend. Guys, the easiest thing to happen for them would be if Nick Foles is just not healthy enough to play. And that way you can avoid all the controversy and just say his hip's not ready. He needs an extra week. Let's just go with Trubisky. His shoulder's healthy now. I think that's the easiest route they could go. If both guys are healthy, well, we'll see. I said this to Cap yesterday, and I thought I was going to get – I got a lot of take that fired back at me. He didn't like what I had to say. But you know what? If they're both healthy, hell, play them both. I mean, there's nothing else that they can try. They've tried everything. Nothing is working. Either things they had tried in the past that they were unsuccessful doing, they can find a way to make that work, which I'm a little dubious about. Otherwise, there's nothing else that they can do. They handed over play calling duties to Bill Lazor before the bye. They've tried both quarterbacks with obviously not a ton of results there. Now, Mitch did win a couple of games, but let's be honest. He didn't play great, except for the frantic finish in Detroit in week one. Didn't play that well. First half was okay against the Giants. Second half, not so good. And then he was just terrible against Atlanta. And that forced him to put Foles in, who's been very, very mediocre at the best.
Oh, God,
okay?
It's been so, even worse than that.
Yeah, so here's where we stand. Here's where everyone stands on November 24th. There aren't a lot of
solution. So I'm all for trying some different things. But I do think, the easiest way out of this for the Bears is to just say that Foles is not healthy enough to play this weekend. Let's see what Trubisky can do and then reassess everything from there.
Jeez. Who are the five blocks of cream cheese in front of them? Have we got any additions or is it the same that we've seen?
I mean, you're not going to get Daniels back, Yerk. Massey is eligible to come back pretty soon here, but I mean, he really was not playing well before he got hurt. So maybe you're better off kind of letting see how that plays out. No reason to rush him back. That would be the only real change there, Yerk. I mean, they got Whitehair back last week. They've got Coward. They use Jason Spriggs if they want. Look, these are just kind of it's window dressing here. I mean, nothing's going to get dramatically better up front. It's funny. It's like the offensive line went from one of the clear issues before the Vikings game. And then the Vikings game happened, and I mean, everything was a problem. The offensive line early on wasn't terrible, but then they kind of regressed as the game proceeded to be played. So, like, it went from, okay, if the offensive line guys could just get a little better, maybe they're in business, to nothing could help that Bears offense. That's the impression they left everyone with, and now it's going to be up to them to try to find a way to flip it. But this is a bad matchup. This is a Packers team that lost a game that they really feel like they should have won. Yeah, they're going to be angry. They're at home. It's Sunday night. Rodgers is healthy. He's playing well. It's not shaping up to be a pleasant weekend for the Bears.
JD, when you say play them both, I mean, do you
play them both?
Do you mean like use Mitch in that sort of Taysom Hill package, or more as a traditional quarterback?
So, no, I meant sprinkle Mitch in. Okay. I mean, again, just an opinion. I am not quarterback guru. I am not Sean McVay. I'm not Sean Payton. Okay, I'm just saying they were prepared to use Mitch right in the Saints game, and then after one play, he hurt his shoulder. That's another issue too. The durability is a big. Going to be a big concern for him, I think, going forward in free agency, because he's had a lot of injuries in a very young career. I digress, though. I'm just saying, if you were going to use him before, why not use him again? But again, I really feel like the easy way out, the way they could just hit the eject button here, is if Foles isn't healthy enough to play this weekend, which you could probably argue based on how bad that looked a couple weeks ago, that I'm sure he was in a lot of pain. I'm sure he's not feeling great, but it's an easy excuse for them to do that as opposed to them saying both guys are healthy, we're benching Foles and putting Mitch back in there, which opens up another world of issues for the head coach in every possible regard if he goes that way.
This really makes Nag. I mean, the whole thing looks bad, period. I mean, I get it. There's no way to dress this thing up. It looks bad for Nagy, though, doesn't it? I mean, the offense really is. Oh, believe it or not, it has gotten worse with Foles. You know, it just
looks terrible. Look, Carmen, this looks terrible. For awful. Everybody, really.
Yeah.
Because you know, I would like to be. I think we try to be in the solutions business, right? I mean, you can consider all you want, and you can flip your computer over and throw chips and yell and scream. That doesn't help anything. How are they going to get out of this? I don't have that answer. I mean, I think that there's a lot of things that Matt Nagy does that are, I think he does a nice job with the team. I think he's a great, you know, sort of figurehead. The guys like him. They play very hard for him. He's got a good routine, good schedule. He checks a lot of the boxes, but you know, the offense, it just is really bad. So if he's not going to be the one to sort of usher this team into a new offensive era, who's that person going to be? Who's going to want to come here in what might be a lame duck situation next year and lend their offensive expertise to a coaching staff that desperately needs it? But it's not a good, no matter how you look at it, this is not a good situation for the Bears to be in. They're going backwards, guys.
Yeah, they are.
Like this should have been year one.
Right.
Instead, year one, you win 12. You're like, oh, hey, now expectations. Here we go. Then you're down to 8. Now you will be very, very fortunate to win 8 games. Guys, they'll be very lucky to split the final six. So everything is kind of happening in reverse order, which is a shame.
All right, JD, anything else we should know going into the Sunday nighter?
I just want you guys to have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, buddy.
You too, JD.
Enjoy Thanksgiving, and the Bears are going to practice tomorrow. They're off today. Then they'll keep going this weekend. But again, like I said, it's not a great matchup. It comes at a very bad time for an offense that just doesn't have any confidence. I'm sure defensively they'll do some things in the first half to make this respectable. But at the end of the day, if you can't score, you're not going to beat the Packers.
All right. Have a great Thanksgiving, JD. We'll talk to you next week.
You guys too. Take care.
See you, buddy. There's JD at Dickerson ESPN. Yeah, that probably didn't do the Bears any favors with the Colts storming back and winning that game. I mean, the Packers really were terrible in that second half. Just 3 points after hanging 28 on the Colts and that defense in the first half. They really didn't do much. And then when they had the good fortune of winning the toss and getting the ball first, Valdez-Scantling had that costly fumble on their own side of the field, and the rest is history. The Colts were pretty much in field goal range right from the word go after that. So, yeah, that doesn't do the Bears any favors. They're 7-3 now, and they're going to be a slightly angry team. And, again, they have just dominated this rivalry. This feels like the 90s with Favre, you know. I mean, it's that lopsided right now, Yerk, and Yerk was on the right side of a lot of those for the Green Bay Packers. But, again, since 2011, including the title game, the NFC title game, in that 2011 season, the last 20 games, Bears have just 3 wins. The Packers are 17-3 straight up against the Bears in the last 20. I mean, that's brutal.
Yeah.
Just absolutely brutal.
That's an epic one.
And I think, like JD said, I think one of those wins, Yerk, was the game where Rodgers hurt his shoulder early and Seneca Wallace came in and played. And I'm trying to remember who put the sack on him. It's a player that's Shea McClellan. Was that who it was?
Chicken dinner road? Nope, it wasn't McClellan. It was another guy that was up. Oh, God, where was it? That? When was that?
No. I thought it might have been Shea McClellan knocked Rodgers out, and Wallace came in, and the Bears won that game. And, you know, it's almost like that barely counts because Rodgers got knocked out in the first quarter. I mean, just 3-17 in the last 20 is abysmal. 312-332-3776 is the number. We got some time for a few more calls. Greeny's coming up at noon. Waddle and Sylvia at 2. Bleck and Abdallah at 6. It's Carmen and Yurko. We're coming right back.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
We got time for a few more phone calls. Greeny's coming up in about 8 minutes. Waddle and Sylvia, 2. Bleck and Abdallah, 6 o'clock tonight. Don't miss the rest of the day here on ESPN 1000. Let's say hi to Randy in Seattle. What's up, Randy?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Carm, you're about the best in the business. Love listening to you.
Thanks.
Yurko, I got a bone to pick with you.
Go ahead.
It's about the Mitsubishi line, baby. So somehow it never gets mentioned that Mitch is still making $9 million this year. Have we gotten so jaded about the salaries in professional sports that we don't even think about $9 million as being anything? Hey, listen, for $9 million, he should be busting his butt rehabbing, getting back in the uniform so he can get back on the field and help the Bears if they need him. Not taking the year off. I don't see him giving his money back. What's happened to us, Yurko?
Well, I understand what you're saying. The question that was asked of me was, if you were his agents, what advice would you be telling him? If I was his agent, the advice I would give to Mitch Trubisky is don't play another down behind that offensive line for the Chicago Bears, period. Doesn't matter if he's making $1 or he's making $50 million. If I was his agent, that's what I would tell him. Now, as a player and as an athlete, I do everything I could possibly do to get back into the game and go out there and play and prove that I'm a legitimate quarterback and a legitimate player in the NFL. But what you are referring to was a question that was asked to me specifically if I was his agent. If I was his agent, I'd tell him never play again for the Chicago Bears, period. They gave up on you. Your coach doesn't believe in you. Your general manager, whether you like it or not, has given up faith on you. And it is time for you to go ahead and pack your bags and go to another place. Now, that is a legitimate answer if I was his agent.
I'm sure his agents are telling him that. I think you're 100% right.
Now, the athlete in you wants to get out there and prove everybody wrong.
I'm sure.
I'm sure that is, you know, inside Mitch Trubisky, that he wants to play. He wants to get out there if healthy, and he wants to prove everybody wrong.
That's the job of the agent, quite frankly. We don't have to like it, but that is sort of the job description. And they might be reminding him of what Dan Wiederer reminded us of last week, that in each of the last 2 years when he has had a shoulder injury, he's come back and played the worst games of his life. And he's coming off another shoulder injury where he's headed for free agency and a team that doesn't want him anymore. I mean, it is probably what the agents are telling him. Like, hey, dude, worry about your shoulder. Worry about your future because it's not in Chicago. He's gonna, they're going to tell him you don't owe him anything. They're moving on from you, and you're going to have to move on.
Right.
Let's say hi to Marty in Indiana. What's up, Marty?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, listen, I'll be as quick as I can. Bear with me. I'm a little nervous. Okay, I'm an old guy. I've been watching the Bears since 1961, 62. I'm 71 years old. I've seen players come and go, coaches come and go, teams come and go. I personally think that Nagy gave Pace a basket full of Barney about how good he was as an offensive guru, because it's obvious he's not. If you guys remember this guy, he played a long time ago. His name was Fran Tarkington.
Sure.
He played for the Minnesota Vikings. The first year he played, 1961, he had 17 interceptions. This guy's in the Hall of Fame. You have to look at his record and see how bad he was. You compare Trubisky's first 4 years with Tarkington's 4 years. Guess who comes in second? Tarkington.
Okay? Yeah, but Marty, the eras are so different. Like, it is hard to compare Tarkington's era and the way football was played, the way quarterback was played, the way the passing games were. Completion percentages were different. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know.
A quarterback I knew in Washington. His name was Sonny Jurgensen.
Hey, he was better
than
both.
And if you compare the stats from Sonny Jurgensen and Mitch Trubisky comes out on top. What? What? You're nervous? My friend, don't be nervous, okay? Just think about it when you come on the air and what you're going to say. You don't compare Fran Tarkington to a quarterback that's playing in 2020 with the offenses that are being currently run, my friend.
It's just too different, guys.
Come on now.
You're talking about 50
apples to apples compared to Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, and Mitch Trubisky. Do not make it difficult.
You're talking about 60 years ago at this point, right? I mean, we're talking about 60 years. You know, I mean,
come on, what are we doing here?
It's too different.
What in the hell was that?
Well, listen, Marty, he tried to make a point, unfortunately.
He made an awful point, Carm.
Unfortunately, we had to squash the point. But we still wish Marty a happy Thanksgiving.
Of course we do. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your turkey and stuffing.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling and participating in the show today, everybody. We'll have a blast tomorrow. Ask Carmen and Yurko
anything.
We do that every year before Thanksgiving. We'll have some fun with that. Thank you to Randy Merkin. Thank you to J.R. Strauss, Midway Jeff Meller, and Jeff Dickerson. Greeny's next. Waddle and Sylvie are up at 2. Black and Abdallah at 6 tonight. Enjoy your day, everybody. And we will talk to you mañana.
Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord has split you.
Stay tuned. We'll have more.
I think the cool people liked it.
I don't think that's whack. I think that's dope.
Mamma mia!